Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, my co-host.
My cousin Tino here with a real crowd this morning.
We
filled the studio up.
There's 200 of us in the studio. No, actually, there's two more people. Gary LeMaster, who you've heard.
Good morning.
And Angela Lefevre, who ran for the House, State House recently. And we're talking about, today, we're talking about Agenda 21.
Yes.
And in April of 2012, Agenda 21 was one of our list of where everybody, we had a kind of lighthearted show where everybody picked the craziest, you picked the craziest thing before the Arizona legislature. And Agenda 21 was one of those items. So I guess the question is, why are we talking about something as Gary likes to call it, bat crap crazy as Agenda 21 conspiracy theory?
I was looking to have Fruit Loops for breakfast this morning before this, but because it seems appropriate.
And the answer, I guess, is that that Agenda 21, despite being preposterous, has had legs. It ended up in the Republican national platform. It's ended up in law in Arizona. So let's take. So what we want to do today is.
And those are the two big things, that it's the response to Agenda 21.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right. If it stayed in a small group of people, it wouldn't be as nearly as important as it is. But what's happened is it's become a central platform, really, of the Tea Party and other conservatives. It's in the legislatures, and there seems no resistance in the Republican Party to anything quite this crazy. But let's talk about
what it is.
Agenda 21 is actually Agenda for the 21st Century, right, Gary? And it comes from a conference back in the first Bush's administration down in Rio.
Right. I'll take the lead sentence from Wikipedia. Not that that's the definitive source, but Agenda 21 is a non-binding, voluntarily implemented action plan of the United Nations with regard to sustainable development. It is a product of the UN Conference on Environment and Development held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1992. And when, you know, I downloaded it off of the entire document off of the internet.
It's, the UN document.
It's
you can download the whole thing. Read it yourself, folks.
I'll put a link on our website. It's like 180 pages, something, 160, 180 pages. And I've read the whole thing, but it's such evil things as asked to combat such evil things as poverty. You know, I mean, it's designed to combat poverty, protect and promote human health, promote sustainable human settlement, protect the atmosphere, combat deforestation, manage fragile ecosystems, maintain biological diversity. I mean, we have a planet that is having hundreds of species going extinct every year, and so this was designed to try. You know, as
in how many countries, Gary? Signed on to
178
this.
Countries.
Yeah. 178, and it's not binding on any of them.
No. Far out liberal agenda here.
I read
everybody from Saudi Arabia to Sweden signed on.
That's
to this
right.
thing.
I scanned the thing. I read everything, and I could not find any enforcement in it whatsoever. There's nothing.
Right.
If a country chooses who signed on to it chooses not to do something, there's absolutely no penalty, and there's nothing that is going to take anybody's property or take away their rights. There's nothing that's going to conflict with sovereignty of any nation.
So it's kind of, now it's an aspirational document about where we should go, right, Gary?
Correct.
And it's non-binding, and it's full of really feel-good stuff, which I'm not saying is unimportant, but it's not a treaty that the United States has signed.
It's not law.
It's not law. So that's where this thing starts, the street. And I think we understand that on the far right, the whole idea of sustainability is an inconvenient truth. The fact that we don't have unlimited resources, the fact we have to recycle, the fact that it helps our cities if there's a green belt around them that's not developed. I understand that that's, you know, just having to sort your garbage is a big, big oppression for some folks.
Part of the response to Agenda 21 by the right wing, and I guess you're going to talk about Glenn, but is that to make sustainability a dirty word,
yeah.
that somehow it's going to interfere with even a couple of dollars of profit, I guess. I don't know why there's the reaction to sustainability.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different threads to follow that take this innocuous little meeting, big meeting, I guess it's this day, and turn it into this conspiracy. And there are different threads, and I think Angela's going to talk about. One's the internationalism. After World War II, the United States is suddenly engaged with all these people all over the globe. Another one is property rights. Property right absolutists do
absolutely
not like
yes.
this.
Yeah.
Any environmental people have never liked it. They don't want to admit there's global warming because it's really inconvenient. And this is much less inconvenient. But you do have to, it implies you do things. Now, as Gary said, it's entirely involuntary. They have a whole thing where cities can join it. They've had 528 cities join it. It's a voluntary thing. It costs a small town, for example, like Sedona, $600 a year. Sedona's not a member, but they're providing tools for sustainability ideas.
One of the absurdities of this whole fear of it is that I lived in Minneapolis-St. Paul for a number of years, and they've been doing this sustainability planning since 1967, and they just, in the last several years, strengthened the planning commission, and one of the co-authors was that horrible communist socialist, Tim Pawlenty. You know, that he was one of the co-authors of the strengthening. It's now the strongest metropolitan planning organization on the planet.
Angela?
I really believe that the reason why this has had so much traction is that just like we've been kind of talking on this, but it appeals to those who don't want to be told what to do. These extreme state rights, extreme Tea Party views, it goes hand in hand with those people who say, I'm not going to be told what to do. It's my right to do what I want. So if I'm told to use sustainable means, or if there's building codes that will help bring down the costs of how much electricity I use, that's not what I want. This is a society which is centrally organized, and therefore they link it to communism, and that's how this is built up.
Let me ask all three of you, given that's true, that we understand that on the far right there's objection to the whole idea of sustainability, and I think Angela's correct. Some people see everything as being pushed around. Right? They seem, you know, having to have a zip code. I remember, you know, as a kid, people hated that. That was
That's
a
right.
big issue. Okay.
Right.
Conspiracy theories start. We can talk about that. But my question to you guys is, how does this go from legitimate, if incorrect, opposition to generating these huge, preposterous conspiracy theories out of it?
In a word, money. You know, don't ever forget that this is driven in large part by large multinational, you know, corporations and industries, and that are funding people like Glenn Beck and Alex Jones, who have made, you know, probably millions off of it. Beck has a book out titled Agenda 21, which is one of the, I've read part of it. It's one of the worst fantasies you'll ever find. It's
interesting
it's
that he had to go to fantasy to really make this as scary as he was trying to make it. The conspiracy theories start a lot after World War II, and one of the Gary has just put on his tinfoil hat.
Well, yeah,
and
you know.
Gary and they start with the John Birch Society, which of course the John Birch Society thinks that Eisenhower is a communist, and it's funded by large industrialists. As Gary was saying, a lot of the money behind this stuff come from what we call extractive industries. The Koch brothers, the dad was a part of founding the John Birch Society. It was not founded by a bunch of farmers sitting off in Oklahoma. It was founded by very, very wealthy people to carry forth a political and economic agenda, right?
And yes, and don't forget that the UN is really was pushed through and organized by Harold Stassen as part of the, I mean, he was a big driving force behind it during the Eisenhower administration. This isn't some left-wing liberal organization. This is something that was created to help world peace following World War II by the Eisenhower administration.
That's part of the allure to the fanatical right, is to that if they can promote this firestorm against Agenda 21, then they could promote their other agenda of getting out of the UN.
Right. In other words, if you let them roll you over on something like Agenda 21, nonsense, if they can really convince people that total nonsense is the truth, then right, you got a problem with all the other issues that are before us. Gary just took off his tinfoiled hat. But how does it, Angela, how does it go from political opposition to these bizarre, disturbing, crazy conspiracy theories? Why is it a conspiracy rather than just, you know, well, there's a whole lot of different language. I know the right refers to anybody who they don't like as useful idiots. I don't know I don't think they know that the term was borrowed from Karl Marx, but they do use it.
Well, I think the simple answer to that, and Gary probably can add a lot more, but the simple answer is fear-mongering, and that's how the Tea Party works. They scare the heck out of people by throwing out all these things that, you know, is going to happen as far as international institutions are concerned. Coming from Europe originally, I know the meaning of international organizations, having been a part of the EEC. I was actually, when I was in England, I fought against it for England, and the country was actually split in two. There were very many pros and cons. But it was an intelligent debate, and it actually went to the people as a referendum. That's decent debating as to whether an international organization such as the EEC, which is taking on some very, very strong parts of the, basically taking over as an international organization.
Explain what the EEC is.
Oh, sorry, that's the Common Market, yeah. European Economic Communities, of which Britain became a member
in 1971. So there's a serious debate about that, but that's not what's happening.
But that's a serious debate,
right, Mike?
Yes.
This has gotten skewed into this really weird thing. Now, I've been looking at some studies of conspiracy theories, and first, there's a lot of them in American history. It tends to be something that we have, and it goes way, way, way back to the early days. But, conspiracy theories are exciting, right? I mean, if it's just this intellectual argument about how much sustainability to have and whether this conference was a good idea back in 1992, it's boring. But if it's a giant conspiracy where they're going to come take your dog, it's a big deal.
The problem is that all of these conspiracies are, and there are a bunch of them. I was just kind of listing some of them that, in recent history, we have people that believe the moon landing took place in the desert. It was totally false. We have people that believe that the government staged the blowing up of the building, federal building in Oklahoma City. Yeah. It's 9/11. We have the truthers. You have people that now believe that the shootings in Aurora, Colorado, and Sandy Hook Elementary and the Boston Marathon bombings were all staged by the government so the evil federal government can come take your guns away.
I think, folks, if you have friends and you have even family members who believe these conspiracy theories, these frightening conspiracy theories, in the back of your mind, you know that there's something wrong. And you know, a lot of times you can't really even discuss it with them. If you cross them in even in the slightest way, it's going to set them off and you're going to be interpreted as part of the plot or something.
If you ever participated in debates, you understand that you can't disprove a false negative. If somebody says, "What? But it could happen." Yeah, it probably could. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Yeah, I think the likelihood is the thing. I mean, this could become a giant totalitarian conspiracy, this little conference. The probabilities are approaching, you know, zero.
But drawing the line from this, like, this innocuous, wonderful UN clause for sustainability and anti-poverty, to a book by Glenn Beck and the floor of the Arizona legislature is ridiculous. I mean, logic doesn't follow that, doesn't go that way.
Well, what we were talking about earlier, maybe Gary can talk more about or you can, Mike, is that, you know, back when the John Birch Society got going, they were really read out of the conservative movement by William F. Buckley and by Goldwater and a whole lot of people. It was just too crazy. They didn't want to be associated with them. What seems to happen now is the crazy ideas go right from the crazy idea people right into Arizona public policy.
And the Republican Party platform.
Yes. And the Republican Party platform. Now, understand, folks, if you're running for office and the Tea Party believe that Obama was born in Kenya and you argue with them, it's going to cost you votes. And so nobody argues with them. And if they come up with a crazy idea like this Agenda 21 conspiracy, you can lose votes. You can be primaried if you disagree with them. If you watch the Republican candidates, you'll see this deep reluctance, and occasionally you'll see somebody like John McCain stand up to him.
But occasionally.
But just occasionally. But, you know, there's a price to pay for not letting the crazy in. And
so you're providing us right now the Republican reasoning for putting this in their platform. In other words, I told you I wanted to ask a Republican, how, please defend this in your platform and have something. And hopefully that Republican would say, well, you know what, you have crazy relatives, we have crazy relatives, but, you know, it's all part of the family. So something like that I could live with. But there is no defense for this.
The platforms are non-binding, too. You know, the Democratic or Republican platforms are not binding. They're aspirations of what you want to do. So
it's a conspiracy.
It's easy to inject stuff there. And if you're not honest, if you say, well, what harm is it going to do? This is just crazy crap.
Yeah.
But some people believe it, and they vote for us. Angela?
Yeah, I think when it gets to be really scary is when you look at let's just face it. Look at Arizona and look what's been going on the last 100 days down in Phoenix. And you see some of the, I mean, it's Senator Burgess was the one to introduce into the Senate here in Arizona Senate. And this is how she addresses it. Listen to this. I appear before you to address a United Nations program that is designed to change our way of life, our heritage, and our liberties as outlined and protected by our most precious Constitution. I testify to you against the seductive evils contained in the UN's agenda for the 21st century. Wow. And more easily stated, Agenda 21.
It's interesting. Seductive evils, right, Gary?
Hopefully there was a large round of laughter following that speech.
It wasn't. That was
the,
that's
no,
what
no,
they
we've
said.
Seen the, we've seen the stuff on YouTube. No, there's one... One very, very furious, focused person with ideas like this after another, right?
Arizona isn't alone in this, by the way. There's been legislation passed. This is a movement, probably promoted by groups like ALEC, but it's, there's legislation that is passed in Alabama and in Missouri and probably Mississippi. It's been spreading.
So is there anything else from Arizona?
Talk a little bit more, because Agenda 21, we picked one. We wanted to dissect and looked at one conspiracy theory.
Right.
But there's lots of other, as usual, wacko stuff.
Well, the thing is that this is bad enough and in itself, and it actually was passed, which makes it even more scary. And if anybody's interested, you should go online. There's a YouTube actually on the debate. Yeah. If you want a good laugh, listen to it, because it's amazing these people, they've
I'm
taken
not laughing.
It to...
This, these, no, these people, this no, is the just, deliberating law
right.
body of the state.
It is very, very scary, and they have made this into, you know, being people being rounded up.
You're reading what she said, but you can hear the fear and the extremism and the absolutism in that in that short statement. Even though
just
you're just reading it, you're not we're not broadcasting
what she said. But then it's look at all, there's a massive legislation that's been introduced that is kind of comes off this whole concept of there's this evil being there that's taking over and telling us what to do. So you look at things like I mentioned before, building codes. They passed a bill down in the state legislature which would stop towns and cities for bringing in building codes that would save energy.
Yeah.
This was because we should not be told what to do as far as how we build a house. I've had a talk with Chester Crandall, our representative, unfortunately, in the state Senate. And he was one of the ones who supported this because he has this fear. He says, why should I be told how to build my house? So I said to him, well, what would happen if the codes are there for safety too, is, you know, you caused a problem and your house was set on fire.
Yeah, well,
not just for you, but for everybody, everybody in your community. I said, I'm okay if you're living out in the country hundreds of miles, do what you want. But when you're in a city surrounded by others, you have a responsibility with that. They don't see it that way. They do not get it.
Well, no, yeah, out in the country too, we would prefer him not to hook up a sewer line to the creek.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's
it.
Exactly.
The other thing is that, it's part of the adjustment. I mean, part of the, I think, driving all this is the problem of the modern world. I mean, instead of 3 million Americans when our country started, we got 300 and maybe almost 20 million Americans now. We've got huge complex cities. We've got interconnection. City governments are always learning for other governments. For folks who don't know it, the Arizona legislature is always passing restraints and controls on the city while they're doing the kind of thing Angela's talking about. They're trying to control the city's ability to run itself. They're big brothering the little towns and cities in Arizona while producing legislation like this.
If they want to see what the lack of planning and sustainable methods is doing, take a look at Beijing. You know, China has
absolutely,
you know, it's the Wild West. They can do pretty much whatever they want, or at least they could. But the air quality there is, you know, the air is unbreathable. People walk around with masks on all the time because they want to filter out the junk that's going into their lungs. And the whole country has been that way. But it's, even they are getting to a point where the government is saying, we have to do something, and the people are demanding it. So.
Yeah. I think the problem is that, and again, the studies show that once you buy into a conspiracy theory, it's very hard to leave it because you've made a jump from ordinary consciousness, ordinary understanding of things. You moved from understanding that maybe Agenda 21 is something you don't like. It's so innocuous, hard to understand for us to understand why, but you may not like the whole idea of sustainability, but you've made a jump from that to exaggerating in a preposterous way what it is. It's a psychological jump. And according to the studies, it's really hard to undo this. So if you know folks who are really into these conspiracy theories, it's going to be really, really hard to talk sense to them. Angela.
I just wanted to get it back to how this impacts our state. This is what exactly the proposed legislation which has passed says. That states should enact effective environmental legislation. This is what is outlawed by Agenda 21. That states have sovereign rights to exploit their own resources. That environmental issues are best handled with participation of all concerned individuals.
Meaning like mining interests?
Yes. And that individuals should have access to info. This is what is prohibited. That individuals should have access to information on hazardous materials and activities in their own communities. That's basically what it stopped doing.
So the Texas plant explodes, the fertilizer plant. The only thing they would do, they wouldn't move the plant, make the plant be away from a developed town. There's no regulation.
Or report the amount of explosives.
Yeah, they would report the amount of explosive materials in the plant, and you've already bought your house there. I mean, what are you going to do? Some people are smart enough to leave, and others, you know.
In case listeners don't know already, if you have more than 400 pounds of ammonium nitrate on premises, you're supposed to report it to the Homeland Security Department so it can be monitored, because it's what bombs are made out of. And they had 270 tons of the material on premises, and that's what blew up the town. I'd just like to, before I, you know, I'd like to say one thing, is that I think that all of this is all tied together of this some irrational fear of the federal government. You know, when she mentions Chester Crandall, we have all these bills coming out of Crandall and others about state sovereignty. We're still fighting the Civil War. I mean, this all goes to an irrational fear of the federal government, and then even worse, that it be taken over by the UN, and the black helicopters and the black shirts are coming.
That's right.
I think I have the answer. We need to increase the per capita consumption of tequila. And I think a lot of this would go away. Speaking of people that have the answers, Democrats of the Red Rocks, one of our fine, fine helpers on this show, has meetings every once in a while, don't they, Steve?
They do, and we have a
right
breakfast
here in Sedona
on May 17th. I'm not ready to announce the speaker yet, but we also have a film we're showing in connection with the Arizona Advocacy Network, and it's called The United States of Alec.
Oh, yes.
Mike's favorite. It's a Bill Moyers program, and there'll be speakers, there'll be discussion afterwards.
If you're looking for one issue that you to try to get your mind around, the whole American Legislative Exchange Council is a good one. And one of the things that I've said before on the show, there is nothing like it on the left. For most of the things we talk about, you know, there's these things that are happening on the right, and there's some sort of response or equal action on the left. There's nothing like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. So please go to that movie. I'll be there.
It's going to be showing Tuesday, May 7th, 6 p.m. at the Sedona Public Library. It's a really thoughtful piece, and as Mike said, you know, it's not that there are not conspiracies in history, folks. It's not that there's not. It's a matter of balance. And so if you go in, there's never been a conspiracy, then you're really wrong. But what's happened is this complete lack of balance. And it's now deeply penetrated American politics. Conspiracy theories are undercutting our democracy because we're not discussing what makes sense. Right, like on this program,
we're discussing real problems.
What doesn't make sense.
Well, the other side, I've found, and I believe, as far as I'm concerned, it's only the other side, has found about the value of a lie and how good the internet is at spreading lies, and it works really, really, really well. The other organization, of course, that helps us out is Democrats of the Verde Valley. Even though they're kind of suspending their meetings for now, we won't be meeting again until August, when Felicia Rodolini is coming up, I hope. We don't know.
It's still to be determined.
Still to be determined.
Okay, and Angela, you got any final thoughts? We've got a couple of minutes left. Gary?
No, I just think that it's good that people be aware. I know that one of the things we're trying to combat is, you say, well, why are we talking about Agenda 21? Why is it important? It's because so many folks do not know. You go out into the street and ask the average guy or woman, you know, what is Agenda 21? They'll look at you and say, what? Well, no, they don't know. And yet it's an important part of the Republican platform. That is what is scary.
So you're going to the coffee house or the bar like Mike does, and the guy starts ranting about Agenda 21. You may have no clue what he's talking about. You
exactly.
Nod along, yeah, but you don't know.
And all of this stuff is coming from, you know, let's face it, it's coming from one minority, small faction, the Tea Party, that is, you know, had an irrational or a disproportionate effect on the Republican Party and on our politics in
because
general.
Because it was so well funded by the Koch
brothers. Yes, that's all about
that
money.
Is the secret, is the funding. Same way with Alex. Alex brings the money from giant corporations together with conservative state politicians with lobbyists from these, from all these organizations, from conservative organizations. It brings it all together. That's in a sense, a kind of conspiracy, but it's a conspiracy in a realistic sense. And in that, please, well, it's hiding in plain sight, and we can research it.
Find the show on vvid.org. You can find all of our shows on vvid.org. Our podcasts are there. Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone.
Yes.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.